Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, a hearty welcome, a giant psychotically optimistic hug for you because you have decided to listen to the perfect episode on the perfect day. Now, why, you might ask, did I say that? Because I have one of my newest besties who's amazing in this industry. I have with me Vedic astrologer Carol Allen. And Carol really works, her mission is to empower women to enjoy out of this world, quote, in quotation marks, love lives. So Carol has been on E!, on Bridezilla's, on Extra, in Chicken Soup for the Soul. She was introduced to me by my great friend that's been on this podcast multiple times, Arielle Ford. Carol Allen, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Thank you so much, Bella. I'm overjoyed to be here. I've heard of you for years, and Arielle is my total fairy godmother, and I'm so grateful she put us together.
I am so excited. Now, okay, guys, I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert here. When Carol and I were first scheduled to record, I don't know, about a month ago, we got on this Zoom and we'd never met before. And it was like one of those instant sparks and soul connections. And she started talking about Vedic astrology. And she's like, you know, just kind of tell me your birthday, like approximately where you were born, what, you know, is the time of your birth. And suddenly, you know, we're supposed to be recording a podcast and she starts telling me about me. And I was like, wait a second. This is kind of kooky and accurate. So we said, let's not do this podcast recording now. I want you to do a reading of me. And let's do that first. And then we're going to record the podcast.
And your hubby. What?
I have never done one of these. So which is bananas. So we're going to talk about Carol. We're going to define for you today what she does, why it's relevant, all the things. And then if you tune into the end, you might hear a little bit about me that might surprise you or might not. So I'm so excited you're here. Carol, tell us a little bit about you and your story. Like, how did you get into this work? What, you know, are you married? Like, tell us all the things.
Oh my gosh. Well, how much time do we have? Okay. So I was in my quarter life crisis. I was 23. I was totally like, you know, my love life sucked. I was completely struggling in career. I had just moved to Los Angeles and I was, you know, doing the salute, right?
And
I went to a party, and at the party was a man who was a Vedic astrologer. And I was like, Vedic astrology, what's that? And a friend of mine that was hosting the party said, he's unbelievable. I've been going to him for 12 years. You have to get a reading. Well, it turns out it's the system of astrology of ancient India. Woo-hoo. There's over 50 kinds of astrology. It's the most consistently practiced and the most fully integrated with a culture. And to this day in India, if you throw your arm out, you'll hit a Vedic astrologer. I mean, you know, 90% of the country is Hindu, and overwhelmingly about the same percentage of people still arrange their marriages, get married by arranged marriage, and they don't do it without the help, typically, traditionally, of a Vedic astrologer. And so it's very, very respected. The information is widely available and rich and incredible. You know, the Western system is also rich and incredible, and the church in the West tried to stamp it out, had a lot of book burnings, put a lot of astrologers at the stake, right?
Wow.
And then all the original writings were at the great Library of Alexandria in ancient Greece, and a series of fires wiped out over 100,000 books. And that was before the printing press. So that was when, you know, maybe that was one of three copies. So Western astrology has lost a lot of its wisdom and is incredible with what it does have. But all my teachers who had been Western astrologers first said when they found Vedic, it was like just finding this treasure trove of information, and they could be so much more specific and granular and helpful. So lo and behold, I had a reading with this guy. It blew my mind. He told me exactly what I should be doing, exactly how I was feeling, everything that had happened up until then. And then he said the doozy. He said, don't even try to have a relationship in your 20s. It won't work. It'll be really painful. But then when you're 30, everything will magically come together and you'll get married. And I was pissed.
Of course you were. You're in your quarter life crisis. You're
and
like,
I was 23.
Yeah. I want to find him tomorrow at the post office.
Right. Well, and I had a boyfriend that I really loved, and he was like, ah, couldn't be him. He's here too early. Sorry. Right. So long story short, my 20s were super rocky, very turbulent. I did everything wrong. You know, I was too needy. I was always crying. I would show up at my boyfriend's house at 2 a.m. for no reason, crying. And I did, you know, a lot of like bringing him my negativity or my disappointment or telling him all the ways he needed to change. I don't know. Ever notice that doesn't go so good, Bella?
Amen. Amen.
Ever notice men hate that? Yeah. So long story short, we broke up. And then I dated everyone I was supposed to, right? I dated like investment bankers and guys with, you know, guys who said they were going to retire at 40. And I'd be on dates going, why don't I like you? Why are you, you know, I'd say, well, and I'm building my second house. And I was living in like one little room with two cats and my like used car that was always in the shop. And I really tried to like these guys. But truthfully, I was really heartbroken over the man that, you know, we had broken up. And long story short, just as predicted, when I turned 30, he came back and said everything out of the movies. And it was completely unexpected. I was envisioning it would be someone else because, of course, the first astrologer had said, oh, he's here too early, right? But that I have found in doing this work that when you hit a season of love, you know, when you hit like the astrological weather of love, it can be someone that you already know. And so we've been back together and married 20, back together almost 30 years, married 28 this year. And
the same guy.
Same guy. Yeah.
I didn't know that plot twist.
Yes. And then what was so much fun is the techniques for compatibility are kind of crazy amazing. And all those years I was single, I was studying astrology at that point because I had loved my reading so much. And it just so happened, this was pre-internet, that there was a school for it 6 blocks from where I was living. So I really kind of felt like I had moved to Los Angeles to find Vedic astrology because it was the only, to my knowledge, it was the only school in the United States at the time that was in person that had such an incredible roster of teachers. And we had all these visiting dignitaries from India and really, really reputable, incredible teachers. It was so wonderful. And there'd be like 5 of us in every class. And it was like $6 a class. So it was such an amazing opportunity. So anyway, I would go on a million dates and I would run their charts after the date, or I would just go, oh, so what's your birthday?
Can and you I would tell run me where home. You were born and what minute?
Yeah. Can you just hand me a driver's license and your birth certificate, please? And and it would always tell me like what was wrong with the guy, right? Or what wasn't going to work. But just like so many people that I work with now, unfortunately, I'd be like, oh, but he's so cute, right? And I would try to play a little game I like to call beat the planets. And I could never beat the planets. And my clients can't either. It always went the way the chart said it would go. It just did. And so by the time my husband came back into my life, I was really at peace. And I was really enjoying my life. And I was really enjoying being single. So what I love about astrology is it helps people understand you're part of something greater than yourself. Not everything is your fault, right? Not everything is on you and up to you. And there is a lot that you can do to make your love life better and to become a better dater or become more open. You know, you as a matchmaker, I'm sure run into a lot of people that are just not open, right? They're like afraid, they're defensive, they're trying to protect themselves.
Yes.
They don't, you know, do you hear this, Bella? I don't want to waste any time and I don't want to get hurt. Those are the two number one things people say to me. Can two things be number one, right?
Right.
Clients say those things to me every day. And that's just not how love works. You have to be willing to invest some time and you have to be willing to get hurt. You know, if you're not vulnerable and open, no one can connect to your heart unless you're in it, right? So anyway, but I love being able to help people set their expectations, make the effort when the fish are jumping, so to speak, and choose the right people who can make you happy, not because they're doing the right things, but because of who they are and how your life forces connect, truthfully.
I love that. Well, tell me a little bit. With Vedic astrology, it's like a lot of science, right? It sounds like there are systems and procedures and, you know, ways of doing things. If 3 or 5 or 10 well-trained Vedic astrologers looked at the necessary data points, like if you'll say, I need these 3 things from you, do they all... Like, what's the level of differentiation and interpretation like in your experience? I'm just curious.
Gosh. Well, you know, I will say for the most part, it should be like reading from the same book. And a lot of people will run around because they might not like something one person says. So then they try another. I'll tell you the biggest problem I have. It's not people going to other Vedic astrologers. It's people going to psychics. Oh. People call me all the time and say, well, my psychic swears he's coming back. My psychic swears this is my soulmate. My psychic swears, you know, this is who I'm supposed to be with. And I look at the charts and they're terrible together. And I'm like, honey, I don't know what to tell you. You're never going to be happy with this person. So quit worrying about the psychic reading. I mean, I've known people that have spent thousands and thousands of dollars calling all the time psychics. And here's what I want to say. All of these systems, whether it's, you know, palmistry, which is incredible, numerology, which is incredible, Chinese astrology, which I love, human design, which is so popular now, all these systems, all they are is really guardrails and like a map. And the truth that is, when something's working, when something's making you happy, when something's in flow, when you feel calm and peaceful, you don't need a map. You don't need guardrails. So I made a video one time and it said, what's happening is your answer. What's happening is your answer. If someone's your person, it's going to work out with that person and you don't have to knock yourself out and put yourself into a pretzel. You should do what I had to do in the time my husband and I were apart, which is learn good relationship skills, understand the differences between men and women if you're heterosexual, understand, you know, the challenges of women and women if you're a lesbian, and men and men if you're if you're gay and you know, a man who prefers men. Because all of that plays into it so much. Gender and behaviors that go with gender and the different brains we all have absolutely goes into it. And at the end of the day, if someone is your person, it will work out. And if they're not showing up for you, if they're not in your life, if they're not treating you well, if they're not someone you can really admire and trust, that's not your person. Right? That's not your person. And if like me, it's a timing thing, like you're not ready, they're not ready, life is lifing at you and it's coming between you, trust that, but keep living your life. I wasn't on a shelf for 4 years waiting for my husband to come back. I was dating all those fun people and having a good time and learning about myself and growing and practicing. So yeah, So that's what I would say. But what's happening is your answer.
I love that. And you talk about this season of love, right? Your 20s wasn't your season of love. Yours was
going to
happen when you were 30. And what I find, you know, there's such a Venn diagram between what we do, right? Because a season, you don't know if a season is, it's typically probably not a one day season. A season.
No, it's always at least months to years, but it's usually, and you can get more and more and more specific. There are astrologers in India that are like, "Ooh, you're going to meet your person on this day." My mentor knew the day he would meet his wife, and boom, he met his wife that day. That's pretty rare to be that specific.
Right. Yeah. And to your point, okay, you might find out that your season of love is 1 year from now.
Or five. Now,
or five, or today, or whatever. But the issue is that, okay, if it's your season of love, you may be placed with, you know, 10, you may be shown 10 different options, right? Let's say you're dating on the apps. If you don't have the skills to pick the right person, you might be in the season of love, but continue your old red flag dating patterns. So what need to do is work on yourself, to your point, get better at your relationship skills, right? Like, have a dating coach, find somebody who can help you with your GPQs, your high and good partner qualities, like we do. So, you know, right? When you have 10, 15, or 100 options in front of you, just because it's your season, it's like, oh my God, how do I pick from these? If you have family of origin, little T, big T trauma, if you've had three, even if you had ideal parents and you've just been picking, you know, the exciting person that makes you feel like you're up and down on a roller coaster, you might have some work that you can do now to get ready to make a good choice during your season of love.
Yes. Well, and I love that you say that, because sometimes people come back to me and they have made this assumption, and I haven't realized it, right? That if they're in their season, nothing can go wrong. Mm-hmm. And that they're only going to find their person, and that they have this beautiful guarantee that all will be well. The other thing people do with astrology that can hurt them is they can assume compatibility means a guarantee as well. That if they have good compatibility with someone, you know, there's this incredible 15-step compatibility technique that's been used for centuries, perhaps millennia, to arrange marriages in India. That is, it's astonishing how good it is. And it shows all the different ways two people influence one another. And by coming together, their lives can unfold. So there's a whole thing on, can you merge your lives? Can your circumstances support the relationship? Believe it or not, you might have something with someone else called obstacles, and it will make it so there's always outside interference. Then there's which one of you is the leader? And it sounds patriarchal and it sounds old timey and old fashioned, but ideally in a male-female relationship, women feel more cherished and men feel more respected when the man is the leader. But this is an energetic thing that has nothing to do with dominance. And a lot of the time, the woman is the leader. And it's like the energy of the relationship is sparked with her first. So she's always ready for the next thing first. She's always initiating first. And this tends to make women feel bad. It makes them feel like, well, why am I always ready before you? And why am I always in the doing role? Yeah. And then it makes men feel like no matter what they do, they can't make the woman happy. So that's one. Anyway, it goes on from there. But three of them are these beautiful, like, soulmate connections. And what'll happen is sometimes in a session, I'll say to somebody, oh, wow, you and this guy have these beautiful, you know, you feel like you've known him forever. Time flies. You're really drawn to each other. There's all this like magic and spark and but sometimes you can have that. You can have that feeling of rightness that says this is it, but they cannot meet your needs. They just cannot meet your needs. The other thing the charts can show is a person's capacity to be in a relationship, like their capacity to be generous, their capacity to be to be honest, their propensity for addictions or depression or hypersensitivity. You have amazing compatibility with someone with low capacity. You're not going to be happy, right?
No.
So people will misunderstand each of these separate things. Is it time? Do you have capacity? Do they have capacity? What's your compatibility? And they'll think each one is a promise or is a guarantee. And you have to have like five of them going
out
for
of 15.
You. Well, no, you have to have five different categories, capacity, timing, you know, and then in the 15-step technique, five of the steps are the most important. Three are the most special. And then you have an overall what's called wavelength score. And you want that to be high, because when you have a high wavelength score with someone, you don't have to constantly communicate and talk things out and negotiate and compromise. It's like what you want, they want. And the way you think is the way they think. It's like you can finish each other's sentences. You both love the same place to live. You both want the same amount of kids. Like you're just on the same page and it's easy. Those are the happiest relationships. So yeah, so it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's a lot to do with people because it's such an emotional issue and it's such a foreign technology. People are like, wait, what? How? Huh?
Oh my gosh. It's,
yeah,
it's phenomenal. and.
But it was such an honor to do for you, being that you're, of course, of Indian descent, and I owe India everything. And I'm always so moved and grateful that people, you know, of Indian background and heritage trust me as a, you know, hippie white California Valley girl.
And I love that. Mm-hmm. And my own, it was surprising. Like my parents have done, like, my parents are very progressive, right? They came over.
They sound wonderful.
Yeah, they're amazing human beings. And they're more like, okay, you know, they've had readings, but I never had anything done post being married that mm-hmm. looked at me, that looked at my husband, that looked at our compatibilities in the way that you did it. So it was,
yeah,
it was incredibly fascinating. I mean, I love the fact that you said to me after I had given you the information that you needed from me and you had done your work and when you came into the call and you didn't know anything. And listeners, I told her nothing. She didn't know my husband's name, didn't know our history. But her opening salvo to me was, I don't know who would, I like, I don't know. All I know is you had to marry this person. And
yeah.
I just started laughing. I was,
it was
like,
so meant to be. It was so destined. And you just had a big anniversary. Congratulations.
We did. And I don't even know if I shared this with you, but my husband and I met in eighth grade. We met in the last year of middle school. I don't even remember that. We were,
oh
we
my gosh,
high school together. We were in Ew. The same super, you know, intense academic program, and we got to be friends. And then we ended up at the last minute, I thought I was going to go to school at Penn and financially we couldn't swing it. And so I went to the University of Illinois and he went to the University of Illinois and we ended up living in the same dorm. So we became much better friends.
Wow.
And
wow.
So over the course of being in college together, I had a long distance boyfriend that went to the Naval Academy. He had a long distance girlfriend that went to school in Madison. So we became friends because we were these two people that had these long distance relationships that,
aww,
you know, when everybody else was out at the bars hooping it up, we're like, okay, yeah, okay, great, you know. And so we became better friends because we could relate to, you know, okay, well, this is great. We can hang out with all these people, but we're not looking to date others. So our friendship grew. We both ended those relationships, but we started dating after college when I, as I say, got my relationship mental house in order because, man, I liked red flaggy people that gave me butterflies and were larger than life. And I wanted to feel like I got swept off my feet. Like the more butterflies somebody gave me, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And then At a certain point, I was like, shit, why is it that everybody that gave me butterflies broke my heart?
Right. Because, those butterflies are exactly the same as a fear response, right? So that was
Yes.
your body going, run.
Run, run, red freaking flag, get out of Dodge, danger, Will Robinson.
But
So.
good for you for falling for a friend. I mean, and that took somebody making a big risk. Like, who stuck their neck out and said something? I mean, he messed up, I would assume.
You know, he did ish. I mean, it was sort of like, kind of like we might have had one too many beers and maybe shared
Oh,
a
perfect.
kiss. And it was just like, oh, Jesus, what was that? Like you're my best friend. And we didn't talk about it as seniors in college. Don't like, do you need to study today? Yeah. You know, and then it was like nothing, nothing, nothing. And so it was just very funny that it's like, okay, is this a thing? Is it not a thing? Like, we're best friends.
Aw,
What if it
that's
didn't work
cute.
out? And I
Yeah, it's
remember
scary.
it was so scary. And I said to him, look, we're both people that don't burn bridges. Like, we're both good friends with everybody we've dated. We're kind people. You know what? Even if we dated and this turns out to be a terrible decision, most we would never, it wouldn't end in flames. And that's how we're like, okay, let's see what happens. And
Beautiful.
that was it. That was
Ah,
when we were 22 years old. And now we just celebrated 28 years of marriage, which was
amazing.
bananas. Yeah. So,
Amazing. Eighth grade, you knew him in eighth grade. That's so cute. That's so
eighth
cute.
grade. And I didn't share any of this with you, right?
No, you
Zero.
didn't. So sweet. Well, yeah, your charts have all these connections that are very, very, for lack of a better word, like fated and karmic and destined and past life. And, I mean, when I looked at you guys, I was like, of course she married this guy. There was no way not to.
That's it's so interesting. So, well, tell us, you mentioned something about, women and men, and let's talk about heteronormative relationships for a second, right?
Okay.
What are you say attraction is different across the sexes, and like men, women, and you taught me some amazing things in our reading about.
Aw, thank you.
Oh, no, you're welcome. That really, you've been married for a long time, right? Our
Yeah.
marriage is great. Of course, it's not perfect. And you helped me to see some things about how men are and how women are. And you're like,
Yeah.
and one of the spoiler alerts is, Bella, if he doesn't do these things, it's men do what they want to do, hire
Yeah.
out the things you want him to do. Just
Yeah.
get people to do those services. I'm like, this is so validating to know women tend to look at the scope of so many things versus men. Talk about the differences in men and women in general, just in whatever way you think is interesting for our listeners.
Well, obviously we're more alike than different. And that's been proven in relationship studies. I mean, what's beautiful is men and women both say, on average, as a group, as a whole, that they want friendship. Like, they want at the foundation of their relationship, their primary romantic relationship, they want to be friends. They want to feel like the person's on their side, that they can be themselves, all of that. So we're more alike than different, but the ways with which we're different account for about 99.999% of our drama, right? Of our
Amen.
problems. So one of the things that is an advantage of women and that makes women amazing is estrogen, right? Estrogen is the connector hormone. It's the let me take care of everyone, let me do for you, let me be happy by taking care of you and by being altruistic, let me walk into a room and notice everyone's emotions and how everyone's feeling, and let me really care, right? That's women. Men are not based in estrogen. They don't work
Zero.
that way. They don't walk into a room and go, how's everyone doing? What does everyone need? How can I help? Okay. Like, have you noticed, Bella? That is not.
Could you, for those of you that are just listening to this, you can't see it. For those of you that are watching this, I'm sure you're looking at my face going, have I noticed this? I live it.
Oh my God, there was an article a few years ago running around Facebook, and the headline was Science Determines Women More Naturally Altruistic, right? And
Duh.
it was this study where they figured out that when women do helpful, giving, generous things, they get a ping of dopamine and they feel happy, and that men don't. Okay. So So I shared this article and I was like, no shit, said every woman everywhere. Okay. So, now, I don't mean to bash men. I love men. I had a fantastic father. I've had amazing colleagues and mentors that have given me everything. And my husband is adorable and I wouldn't trade him for anyone else's. And women are better. Okay. So, when it comes to relationships, we are better equipped. We come in with more physical and mental and emotional capacities to notice what relationships need, to attend to relationships, to be relationship oriented. Now, as a result, though, we often get hurt because men are not often as attentive to the relationship, as present to the relationship, paying as much attention to the nuances of emotion and feeling. And as a result, you know, 2/3 of divorces are initiated by women. Because we can't compartmentalize and shove our feelings aside. And when we ask and ask and ask for something, if we don't get it, we don't feel loved, we don't feel heard, we don't feel seen. So any men listening, you know, that's kind of key to women, right? Like Freud said, women, what do they want? It's very simple what we want, right? We want you to be us is what we really want. No, right. We don't. But men are amazing. Men are amazing at other stuff, and men can compartmentalize and they can shut off their feelings and they can go do their mission and their duty and they can, you know, be our heroes, but they only give what they're naturally inclined to give. And when we do something for them and better than them, and before they've had a chance to do it, they see that and they go, oh, well, she must want to do it because she wouldn't have done it if she didn't want to. Therefore, now it's her job. So then they sit back and they go, I'm a genius. Look at all my woman is doing. And women give more when they're unhappy. Men give less. So when we're unhappy in a relationship, we give, thinking, well, this will help. But guess how men read that? Men read that as, I'm a genius. Look how happy my woman is. And I'm not even doing very much. I guess I'll just sit here. Right?
And put my feet up.
Yeah. So what you need to do is quit over functioning, ladies, quit overdoing. And in dating, I'm very old fashioned with my clients. And, you know, forgive me, anyone under 35 listening to this, because you might hate this advice. But a lot of this is rooted in our brains and our biology and testosterone versus estrogen. Let men lead in the beginning. Quit texting them back. Quit texting them first. Go ahead and text them back. But quit initiating. Quit going, hey, you know, and it's amazing, Bella. I watch women, they cannot wait. Everyone's so impatient now. Me too. We have these like horrible machines, right, that give us these attention spans of tsetse flies. And, you know, so when you're in early dating, it's agony. Is he going to call? Am I going to see him? When am I going to see him? But like, lean back and see, how available is he? How giving is he? How much of a planner is he? And does that work for you? And if you're rushing in and doing it for him, he's going to think it's your job.
That's so true. That's true.
Oh my. So that's just a little tidbit. But yeah, men do what they want. And so if you're not getting enough, ask for more. And if he's still not doing it, stop asking. Go hire somebody or fire him and get another guy.
Exactly. Change comes from within, not from without. And if he doesn't want to do it, in the case of my husband in particular, right, you're like, okay, you don't want to break apart for a couple of small things that you want that you say you've said 17 times. It would make me feel really safe. It would make me feel really loved. I wish you would do this. Doesn't do it, doesn't. Hire it out. Okay, good solution, right? He'll do what he wants to do. And he does plenty of other really nice things.
Oh my God, your husband sounds like a complete sweetheart. Yeah. But you know, they don't always care about the things we care about. And they don't realize that their lack of handling something or doing something to us feels like a lack of love. They don't, to them, it doesn't mean that at all. So we have to be very careful as men and women that we make up emotional, you know, meaning of what it means, whether someone is showing up one way or another. Ask them. You know, ask them. My husband did something the other day that I thought was hurtful. And then he said, oh, well, I thought we were in a hurry. And he had like a whole point of view that proved a good intention that I was not recognizing. I didn't realize he had this beautiful intention. So we have to give each other the benefit of the doubt. What people need to be careful, though, in early dating is giving too much benefit of the doubt, you know, because there's three things. There's, do you love the person? And when you're early dating, do you like the person? Then do you like the way they're showing up? And if you're in a relationship, do you like the way they partner you? Do you like who they are as a partner, the support they provide, the, you know, how much they do or don't do? And then it's, do you like the life they're building and the future they're stepping into? And do you want to step into it with them? Because if you don't, you're not going to be happy. And people think, you know, so often we think one of those is enough. Oh, but I really love him, or oh, but I really love her. And I'll make them go into a different future, right? And I'll get them to be a better partner. And it's like, no, what are they naturally doing? And what do they prioritize? What do they want for their life? And then can you support that and step into that with them? And if you can't, you know, and this is why it's a tall order and it can take years. And I love that, like, your soulmate was right under your nose all those years. And you guys kind of had to sneak up on each other. I love that so much.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Love that.
It was, no one that one would date in early high school, that is for sure. And we laugh about that now. So, yes, you know, and he's 14, 15-year-old boy, right?
Yeah.
You do. So,
yeah.
Well, tell me, you know, you've been doing this for a really long time and you've worked
yes.
with so many singles. What is something
yeah.
that has surprised you most in conversations with people?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, it's so hard to know what surprises me most because it's been so long that I'm no longer surprised.
You're like, I'm no longer surprised at all.
But I think what I think makes me more sad for people is I see the same assumptions getting in everyone's way again and again and again and again. And so do you. And there was, I've mentioned a couple already, this idea that you don't want to get hurt and you don't want to waste time. That's a huge one. You know, life is here to be lived. We're here to have rich, full lives. And people say this is the most important part of their lives. And studies show at the end of life, people who've been like super successful in the world and have made a lot of money and la la la, everyone says at the end of their lives, the most important thing that brought the most fulfillment was their relationships. And so people claim this is the most important part of their lives, but they don't give it the effort.
Yeah.
They don't give it the time, right? So that same person that'll say to me, I don't want to waste any time, I'll say to them, you have an MD or a PhD, or you own a company, or you had five kids, or like you've done things that have taken a ton of time and you didn't get those things right at the gate, right? You were willing to make a huge effort. You were willing to go on 17 interviews or go to three colleges or get two upper graduate degrees. Like, why do you want this to be just like poof, right? And it's because we got that indoctrination from Walt Disney and fairy tales.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. And so people will say to me, you know, oh God, I internet dated. I met so many men. I'm like, oh, how many? And they'll say three, right? So I'm picturing like 72, you know? And then there are people who do make a ton of effort, but they're making sort of half-hearted effort, you know? People show up for this part of their lives really not bringing their A game for the most
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
And when they do bring their A game, the other mistake people make that come to me, since I'm an astrologer, is they have this idea like, this is going to happen by this time, you know? And they've decided how the movie is supposed to go
yeah.
before they've bought a ticket, right? And so they're setting themselves up to be always disappointed. Because I'll say to them, okay, you want to be married by 30, like, you know, happened for me, which was nice. But what if someone so incredible that you don't know yet is going to show up when you're 35? And what if later, or 45? I mean, I have a lot of clients that find love in the second half of life. I have a client right now, 72, I helped her with, you know, her internet dating and her profile and her pictures and her blah, 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 and gave her a strategy. And she was a woman on a mission. And I love that, right? I love it when people are really all in. She met 15 men. She went on 23 dates with 15 men. And on the 23rd date with the 15th guy, she was like, "You're the guy." And they're totally happy. But what a lot of people do instead is they say, "Oh, well, it's not meant for me because I met 14 guys, right? Or 10 guys." And they decide, "Oh, well, this must mean it's not meant," you know? And then they use spiritual language, because I'm a spiritual person doing a spiritual kind of system. They use spiritual language to tell me how their life is supposed to go. And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I thought you hired me to tell you how your life is supposed to go."
Right. Glad that you came in with the analysis of the movie without watching the movie.
Without knowing the script, right? I'm holding your script, right? Yeah. So, but I get it. You know, we all can be like that. Me too. I mean, I totally get it. So, but yeah, so that really surprised me in the beginning, was how little effort people made who claimed it was the most important thing to them.
You know, and I say the same thing, Carol, when people, you know, I've got a poster in my office that's called the 21 Suggestions for Success. And it's something that my dad hung up in our house when I was a kid. And
I love that. Wow.
Suggestions for success in life, right? My dad's an Indian engineer. And it was rule number one for success is marry the right person. This one decision will determine 90% of your happiness or 90% of your misery. And I remember thinking,
for sure,
like, well, who's going to teach me how to do this? Nobody. And so if you're sitting there wondering why it's not happening for you, remember, it's not your fault to some extent. You didn't learn how to do this. You didn't go to dating school. You didn't go to relationship school. Maybe you're emulating role models. You're kind of caught in the same place. Just give yourself a little bit of grace. Like,
yeah,
you haven't done anything wrong. And it's time for you to invest in yourself and to do something that's going to bring about that change, because it's not just going to happen by doing the same thing over and over again. Now, I have a question. I tell my clients all the time, I believe that love exists for every person on the planet that wants it. And that they call me psychotically optimistic. I said, okay. And that love is a when, it's not an if. I believe this, and I believe that, but it's not going to happen if you're doing the same shit over and over again, waiting for something to fall into your lap. You're going to have to change things up and do things differently. Have you ever had a reading with someone you're like, "I'm sorry, it's just not there for you"?
You know, I had the most wonderful mentors, and they always reiterated, never take someone's hope like that, like never devastate someone's hope like that. And I do see a lot of people, this part of their lives is the most challenging for sure. And it does require the most effort, time, healing. You know, I'm a huge fan of like subconscious reprogramming, listening to subliminal recordings about love, and, you know, being very intentional to surround yourself with happy couples and read only happy love stories and listen to only happy love songs. Because a lot of people, their evidence, their lifetime experience does show that love hurts. And, you know, mom and dad, love hurt, right? And you can see in the chart, you know, were the parents happy? Were the parents close? All of that. Were the parents present? You can see like absent fathers, dead mothers. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
And we don't choose that. We haven't.
No, I mean, honestly, I have no idea. I'm not a spokesperson for the universe. I don't know if you sit down with God and design your life before you come. I have no idea. I really don't. And, you know, the philosophy of Vedic astrology is based on reincarnation, which, by the way, reincarnation has been proven at the university level. There's been over 1,000 cases of young children who can name names, events, dates, places, and it all checks out from things that occurred in their past lives. Over 1,000 cases. I think it's the University of Virginia, I'm pretty sure. You can Google it, but there's specials on this on TV that are mind-blowing, on YouTube. So it's based on reincarnation. And the idea is that we all live, are you ready for this? 1 million lifetimes.
Wow.
Sometimes you're an animal. Sometimes you're an insect. Sometimes you're a different gender. Sometimes you're a different ethnicity. Sometimes you're tall. Sometimes you're short. So you don't get everything in every lifetime. And what I will say is I do often see people are not here to have traditional relationships. They're not here to marry, or they're not here. They would actually be happier not living with someone.
Yeah.
And when I tell people that, and that's true in their chart, they are always relieved, right? Because whatever is true in your chart is going to feel true to you. So it's not that I see like, oh, you really want love and you're going to be alone forever. It's more like, you know, if your chart's, and I also can see divorce. And so it's a relief to be able to tell people, you didn't screw up, you didn't blow it, this wasn't meant to be forever, right? You can see bisexuality, homosexuality, all that. You can see transgender stuff in charts. So I've really come to believe, not to freak you all out, Bella, I've really come to believe, I don't know how much is really up to us at all, and how much we're just like, the universe is just living through us and seeing through us. And, you know, we're just here enjoying the ride.
Yeah. Right. We're here to play our part.
Right.
Whatever you believe that statement means. Right. And well,
but some people are rich, you know, their charts are great for being rich. Some people are beautiful. Some people are really, really healthy. Some people, you know, and some people like love is easy. I mean, I have a sister, love has always been easy. And she like always had boyfriends from the age of 7 on. And so she had a bad breakup of her first marriage, and he went off into the sunset with someone else, and she called me all upset, and of course, and I said, yeah, but you're you, okay, like it's, you're you, it's gonna be easy. And she was like, no, it won't. And like five minutes later she had a hot, amazing boyfriend, and then 2 years after that she met her husband on the day I told her to start internet dating. And I checked out their compatibility, and yeah, she always got her man, and she got her man, and they're really happily married, and he's fantastic. So 17 years later. Yeah.
I love that. So are there any pieces of what you, and I'm happy to have you share anything. You did a reading with me, and you know, my eyes were like as big as saucers when you were describing me. Is there anything you want to share about what you saw with me, my career, my personality, which is hilarious because you didn't know me before this. So I'm open.
Well, first of all, I think it's great that you're so real on your podcast. You know, people are very grateful when they hear from relationship experts and dating experts about our own challenges, right? That you can be happily married and still have complaints and frustrations. And it's not like some fairy tale that we get when we have a long, happy marriage, right? We're still real, and we still have problems. So
true.
Well, I had heard about you for years because we're in a similar field and we know a lot of the same people. And so I was so excited to meet you. And when I pulled up your chart, it just absolutely said you're being exactly who you're supposed to be. So for example, this was fun. The planet of love and romance is in your house of career. So you've made a career of helping people with love and romance, and it's connected to the house of partnership. So you've made a career of helping people find partnership, which is so cool. And then in Vedic astrology, more important than what sign you are, what rising sign you are, what moon sign you are, is what are called yogas. And you have a really beautiful yoga called ambassador yoga that's all about being in the world and impacting the culture you're in and impacting, you know, your community and society as a whole. And your work absolutely does that and is absolutely changing the world. And so that was no surprise. I mean, you have the moon in Leo, you have all the most powerful signs and a lot of fire. And this is why you're so irrepressible and you're so driven and you're so, you know, you've really created a queendom. And it's really great. It's really beautiful. And your chart says you're very intuitive. And I know you were telling me with the matching that you do, a lot of the time you just know, like you'll just meet a woman, you'll just know who her guy is and you'll just feel it, and that it works, and that you have this like spidey sense. And the planets of having a spidey sense are taking center stage in your chart. So I think you're being exactly who you're supposed to be, my dear.
Oh, well, that was so funny to hear. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're very ambitious and driven and yet really, really sensitive. I was like, oh man, said that, like, because that's really true. And people sometimes don't know that.
Right. Because that isn't you don't lead with that. You know, you lead with the like, rah, rah, I can help. Let's go. You know?
Exactly. And well, for those of you that are on the fence going, should I do this? I would tell you hand over heart, go do this, you know, do a session with Carol. I'm going to put a link for you to click on in these show notes. And there will be one in the email newsletter if you subscribe to our newsletter. And if you don't, go to smartdatingacademy.com, say, I want your newsletter, and you'll get it first. And I think you'll be really pleasantly surprised. And what I wish for all of you is that you will shortly be entering your season of love.
Mm.
So
it's fun to tell people that, for sure. It's my favorite part of my job.
Oh, I love that. And Carol is irrepressible. We both do the work that we do because we believe that love is out there for you. Is it always easy? No. Nothing worth having, though, is easy, right? And so, but when you find the right lid to your pot, overall, it is easy. It's work to keep the relationship. You might be like me and have to hire out certain services to, you know, keep things on track, but it's not soul work. You're not having butterflies in your stomach wondering when this person's going to call or come home,
right?
Or what version of them
can are you imagine
see today? No, absolutely not. So
yeah,
I hope that this has convinced you that, you know, there's a plan and there are people that can help you with the plan. So Carol, thank you for sharing your genius with
thank you, Bella.
The smart dating audience. And thank you for sharing it with me. I know I've already sent people to you to get a reading. So I'm excited to hear all of you that do and what you think. So I will put Carol's information in our show notes. And yay. I'm sure you will come back again, Carol, because we would love to have you back.
I would absolutely love it. It's an honor to be with you and all of your listeners and viewers. So, and I love sharing Vedic astrology. It's been the greatest gift of my life. And yeah, so thank you.
I'm so excited for all of you. So for those of you who believe that love exists for you, which I hope every single ding dang one of y'all know that love is out there for you. It's a when, not an if. Do something today that can take you one step further in finding the lid to your pot, because there are many lids to your cute pot. There could be a red lid, a glass lid, a cast iron lid. I don't know. Lots of lids that are out there. Maybe one with a little dent on it. It's okay, but it still fits you perfectly. So don't give up hope. Be psychotically optimistic. And until our next episode, I bid you farewell.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.